And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon, I'm delighted to say, is Sam Oliver. He is the new executive director of the Acadiana Center for the Arts. He's here to talk about himself, the center, and the future, and a lot of great things. Sam started at the ACA, probably a couple weeks ago? When was your first day?
Well, thank you for the warm welcome. I'm on week six right now.
Week six? How did that fly by?
All too quickly.
Yes. Well, you actually, you're from this area, mm-hmm. So you know the art scene really well. You were an intern actually many years ago at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, so it's a bit of a homecoming.
It does feel like yesterday, but yes. I interned the first year that the theater had been built, the James Devin Munkus Theater, and it was a phenomenal kind of opening season and really helped with kind of creating some of the content around defining what the ACA does in the community at that time.
Right.
And it really is phenomenal to come back to the organization 9 years later now and be able to say, man, the work that the organization's done in that time, presenting great art, supporting the community of artists, has just been as strong and stronger than ever.
Right. And I would say it's a great credit to that organization that it would have helped to develop and to have inspired you to want to come back to that organization. You know, not every arts organization could say the same. So let's talk just a bit about your development. Some people who know you, who are listening, know a bit about your background. But what got you into the arts? I know that your family has always been very interested in the arts, and we have a lovely painting in our hallway that has come from some efforts on the part of your family to have a great collection of art. But how did you decide that that was an arena that you wanted to work in?
Well, it does kind of really come back to my upbringing in Lafayette. My parents were always attenders at Art Walk, and that was an introduction to, you know, just the casual enjoyment of visual arts in that case. For a little while, my father went in on a gallery business with an artist named Stephen Frederick, and it was called Stephen Frederick Gallery. It's next door to what is now the Worst Beer Garden, and that was an enterprise that lasted about a year. But, you know, I like to say that my first job in the arts was scrubbing the floor of that gallery space.
Not a bad place to start.
Not a bad place to start. Now I'm across the street and over a block, I have, you know, haven't gone that far in my life, really. But really, that origin and having those experiences, I never thought that I was going to end up as an arts professional as I am today. Up through college, I thought I was really going to become a lawyer at a certain point. My father, who is a lawyer, sat me down. I was in the process just before I was about to apply to law schools. And he said, "Sam, I think you would be an okay lawyer. I don't think you would enjoy it. And I don't think it's what you really want to do." I said, "Well, that's fair."
Wow. What a wise parent to know their child.
Truly. And you know, I was like, "Yes, you are correct." Mm-hmm. But I was seeing myself following in those footsteps, and I'm from this region, and I saw that as like that's one of the career options that is available that I could do that I think I would enjoy. And he said, "Nah."
And what a great dad.
And he had actually heard about UNO. New Orleans has an arts administration master's program that I did not attend, but he had printed out from the internet the program description. He said, "When I saw this description, I immediately thought of you. I thought of what you volunteer for, what you care about, what you talk about." I was very involved with kind of the artist community and creative writing community in Baton Rouge at the time, because when I was at LSU. And he was just like, this is what you need to do. And for me, it really just sort of freed me to say, yes, I can dream a little bigger.
I love this world, the art world, yeah.
And I am not an artist myself. Mm-hmm. I'm barely a creative. But I've always been surrounded by great artists, great creative people in our community in Lafayette and Acadiana. And as I went through life, more and more my responsibility became talking to those people. And 20 years ago, I was on this show with Cheryl Castile.
Yes.
Talking about a show that we had at Cité des Arts. That was 10 years ago now. And that show was a friend of mine who would always talk about what great projects they want to do. You know, I have this phenomenal idea for a show, for a musical we're going to do. I have an idea for this big art project. We're going to involve all these artists. Name check, Lester Tisdale. And every couple of months I would say, oh, that's a great idea. What happened to the last project we talked about? And I began to see this pattern of, you know, there's so much energy and so many ideas. And it's like, well, let's just nail one down and let's just make it happen. And so that was really my first
beginning of your arts administration right there.
Mm-hmm. Again, and I had no idea that that's something that right. you could make a life doing and a career doing.
And those are very unique skills. I mean, you need to have a passion for the arts. But as you so aptly illustrated just there, many artists don't have that same business, administrative, organizational ability that an administrator would. And so that's a very important, very necessary part of the arts. So we really need both of them. And when you went to that program, did it feel right when you went into that arts administration program? Did you begin to really feel that this is where you belonged?
Oh, absolutely. And I actually went to a program. I did not go to University of New Orleans. Okay. I went to a school in Edinburgh, Scotland, which was a little far-flung of a trip, but was a community that I was interested in learning more about. And it was a little more exploratory to see a place that really has a very long tradition of supporting and creating great museums and festivals. And I think there's plenty to learn in New Orleans, but I thought to myself, I think there's more to learn in Scotland, where the differences will present opportunities.
Well, and what a great opportunity, as you say, to bring back new ideas. Because if you stay only in the same stream, the same art stream that you grew up in, that you were comfortable with, perhaps you wouldn't have had such a different and original perspective to bring back. So what a great idea. That was very foresightful.
I like to think of myself as being different and original.
Yes, yeah. It was very foresightful of you to go there. But you did return to New Orleans, and you were working at the Contemporary Arts Center. How did mm-hmm. that mold you further as someone who knew they wanted to be in arts administration? What was that experience like?
So coming to the Contemporary Arts Center in New Orleans was really a career-transforming experience for me. Very early on, I said that that's an organization I would never work for, because at the time in 2012 and 13, that's the organization had just gone through sort of a major public relations incident. A curator had left. There was a kerfuffle with the artists in the community being very upset with the organization, not showing due respect for their work, not treating them well, and for generally speaking, the organization just not being what it needed to be to serve the broader community. And so being in New Orleans, I thought, well, I can work at a lot of places, but I can't work there because I don't want to be associated with that. Mm. And not long after I moved to New Orleans, they announced a new executive director whose name was Neil Barclay, who has actually just recently left the CAC and is moving on back to New York, and I believe is still going to keep a foot back in New Orleans. But Neil Barclay, when I read his resume, I saw immediately, this is a person with a phenomenal career and amazing experience. I have to go and find this person and learn everything I possibly can from them. And that was the correct thing to do, because that meant the next 5 years of my life were really in apprenticeship, essentially, to a senior arts administrator in the United States, someone who's worked in every major community around this country and been involved with every great supporter of the arts at the national foundation level. And as he'll tell you, just knows everybody.
Well, what was your takeaway, your personal takeaway from that experience being mentored by him and working in that environment? What happened to your sense of the arts and yourself, your ability to work as an administrator?
Well, for me, it really crafted sort of my practice as an administrator, which there are so many organizations that exist just to perpetuate themselves. And that is not the point for me. The point is they exist to serve a community and to serve needs in that community. And I think with arts organizations, you always kind of have this question of like, what need are you serving? You're not providing food or shelter. You're not providing, you know, maybe the basic needs of life. Except that if you were to strip away the culture and the cultural connection of a community, you might very quickly say something is missing here, something desperately important. And then it begs the question, are the institutions, are the art centers, are the museums, are the festivals, are they really contributing to that idea of culture as a living thing that connects community, that connects people, that connects them to their past, to their history, to one another, to their place and their sense of place, and that really preserves traditions and the great things of tradition, and while also encouraging and allowing for creative and new expression and new identity to form. And if an organization, you know, if a museum isn't engaging with that conversation and really supporting it and coming to it, then they're not doing their job. And so that's what I really learned at CAC. And that's what the organization was – that's what Neil Barclay's vision was, and that's something I very much buy into, is that we have to assert our place in the world, because a world without a strong culture in a city, without a strong culture in a region, is one that no one wants to live in.
Well, and he's done an incredible job. I think we've all been very interested in the development of the arts in New Orleans, and that continuity that you talk about of culture and arts is very strong there. So when you thought about coming back home with all of these skills you had learned and what you had learned from Mr. Barclay and your time in New Orleans, how did you – when you first thought about applying for this job at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, how did you hope to apply all of those things to this community and this particular organization, the Acadiana Center for the Arts?
Well, I come back to this community. I'm a Lafayette native. And it does mean I come back with a new perspective on it. There are things that I see now returning to the city that once I might have looked at as just being a background, that now are very much foreground. And some of those things are very, you know, problematic. There are communities that are immediately adjacent to one another that have very little social interaction. And there are artists and great people within this community who are not given the due respect and I think appreciation that they need for the contributions that they've really done to shape who we are as a people today. And I think that's what they've done. They've shaped who we are as a people today. And I think there are all kinds of organizations that do this work. Festivals Acadien Creole is an excellent one. Festival International, Center for Louisiana Studies, the list really goes on. But it's about, to me, not just doing this work as individual organizations. KRVS is one. but not doing this work as individual organizations, but doing it together as a real creative and cultural community, especially when we get to be the people who sit in the rooms and help decide what goes onto stage or what artwork goes onto display and what are those conversations that are had. I think bringing together that conversation between all these organizations is vital. And when I look at the ACA, when I looked at it from the outside, I said that's the work that that organization does do but can do more and should be a leader in the state and this country in doing, because we have the assets that no one else has culturally.
Before I ask my next question, I want to let people know who are just tuning in. My guest is Sam Oliver, who is the new executive director of the Acadiana Center for the Arts. We're talking about his development as an arts administrator and the work that he hopes to do at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. This Saturday is Second Saturday Art Walk, and everyone's invited to attend all of the events going on at the ACA. You were talking about the role of the ACA and your role as well as the new head of the Acadiana Center for the Arts with all of these other arts organizations. And some people may think, well, isn't the ACA just a place? Isn't it just a building where they have exhibits and they have a great theater and they have concerts there? But I think many of us don't fully understand the role that the ACA plays within the state system of the arts and really what they are tasked with in this community. Could you just explain that a little bit more about how you see, because it's not just you, Sam Oliver, saying, oh, we really should all work together. the ACA is, in addition to being just a place, something bigger than that.
Absolutely. And thank you for asking that question. And while I'm going to say this, probably somebody's going to be slapping their radio saying, you've got it wrong. But, you know, the ACA was founded in 1975 as the Acadian Arts Council. And so it is still that organization. That mission adapted a little bit with the creation of the building in downtown, especially with the development of the theater. But in 1975 and since then, the ACA has been the organization tasked with supporting cultural activity in the eight parish region, including Lafayette and the immediate parishes. And that means we provide direct grant support, so funds for projects, for cultural and arts activity. And we provide a lot of coordination between those entities. You know, we help bring people to New Iberia for festivals and events happening there, and to Opelousas and to elsewhere. We try to, you know, stimulate and really invigorate, and where we can, bring professional skills to help them, because many of those operations happen without a professional staff, and their volunteers and their committees and their citizens who really want to see things happen in their community. And that is the role of the Arts Council, is to support that and encourage that and facilitate. So the organization has continued to do that for the past, you know, 40 math years. And another aspect of that is arts and education. So from that time, the other leadership program is arts and education. ACA has been a partner with the Lafayette Parish School System virtually since its founding. I think it's going on 40 years now for that. That partnership means that the ACA employs artists who are trained as teachers in arts integration, basically bringing interactive experience into the core subjects, and brings that into every single school in Lafayette Parish, K through 12. It's incredible. We do a much more focused program for elementary students called PACE. That's about providing a primary arts experience for every student at the elementary school level. And that program is actually celebrating its 20th year in 2019. So we're going to try to make a big to-do about that as well. those are leadership programs that have only continued to expand. Last year, ACA was in 43 schools in Lafayette Parish. This year, we're in 70, because now we looked at the mission, and the very, very amazing staff at the ACA said, we are the Acadian Arts Council. Why are we just serving Lafayette Parish schools? What about these other seven parishes that we serve with direct grants and community development support? And so they said, well, we can make a pitch of it. Let's do it. So St. Landry Parish signed on very early, Vermilion Parish as well. So that the number of schools and the number of students affected has grown wildly in the past 12 months. And if that model is successful, then we really may be able to bring more to bear for the rest of Acadiana. And I'm thinking about the parishes with school systems that have much more strapped budgets than Lafayette Parish and St. Landry Parish, ones that, you know, may not have the funds to really operate the programs, their core programs that they have today. So the more that I can really bring into that fold, and the more services we can provide around the multi-parish region, I think we'll really be able to make just a tremendous impact. And that's one of my visions for, and not just mine, but the vision of the staff and the leadership within the Acadiana Center for the Arts, of that we want to see happen.
Well, I think a lot of people will be very happy with that vision, and I think you all have a name for it. You're saying dream bigger.
Dream bigger.
Dream bigger.
Why not?
And really, the largeness of that dream has been inherent, as you say, from the very beginning, that the Acadian Arts Council was created back in the 70s, and that it is the regional designated organization by the state. You mentioned Cheryl Castile, and of course she is now head of the
Louisiana Division of the Arts in the Lieutenant Governor's Office.
So this region is a part of that organization and is a designated as the bearer of all of those things that you were mentioning there. So Dream Bigger really sounds like it is part of your vision and will be part of everything moving forward. I know that people will be eager to learn more about it. They have an opportunity this Saturday during Second Saturday Art Walk to find out more. I know you've got some performances going on. What can people find out and do this Saturday?
Well, thank you for asking that as well. So one thing we really want to do is Dream Bigger is a bigger campaign to drive awareness for the organization. And we really just want to get the message out there. We want to say, you know, what can this do within our community? What can this do within our broader community? And what does it do today? It's actually from a quote from Francis Pavi, who's, you know, was quoted as saying, can we dream a little bigger? You know, can we think a little bit more creatively and get a little bit outside of the box and not just do the same things over and over again? And so, you know, we took that as a challenge, and, you know, I like a challenge. So this Second Saturday Art Walk, one thing we're doing is really just trying to celebrate the supporters of ACA and celebrate the patrons of the arts and the people who come out and say, look, this is about you. This doesn't happen without you, to be very clear. and to just celebrate it. It's, you know, it's an open event. Everyone's invited. We're opening an exhibition. We always open an exhibition with every Second Saturday Art Walk. This one is a phenomenal artist from Lake Charles, Heather Ryan Kelly, who has a magnificent oeuvre. She's been a professor with McNeese for many years.
She's also a supporter of Care of Yes.
Well, name check.
Thank you, Heather.
And it's going to be a phenomenal show. And it's a lifetime of work has gone into it. It's in our main gallery space, our large, gorgeous gallery, largest professional art space in the region, really. And that's only a piece of it. We also have the St. Landry Ecumenical Choir will be performing because we got to have a little extra holiday cheer. Come on. And there'll be art making activities for families and children, printmaking and just a lot of fun. But to also display some of the work that our teaching artists do in schools. But why not do it here for the public?
Well, Sam, I know we could talk for hours about what you hope to do at the ACA, but I think from what people have heard, they have a clear sense of how solid your understanding is of the history of this organization, the potential of this organization, and I know we'll have you back on many times to talk about what's happening at the ACA. Again, if you just have tuned in, my guest is Sam Oliver. He is the new executive director of the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Everyone is invited to come downtown for Second Saturday Art Walk to the ACA to see the new exhibit by Heather Ryan Kelly, as well as hear some great music and to chat with everyone. I'm sure board members will be there. Staff members will be there. You're going to be there on Saturday.
Oh, I'll be there.
And people will very much enjoy talking with you all about this vision and to get to dream a little bigger themselves. Anything else we should know about the event?
Yeah, I would just encourage anybody who would like to reach out to me directly. I'm the tall, scrawny guy with glasses.
All right. Head on over to the ACA. How can you resist that invitation? With a real passion for the arts. Well, Sam, thank you so much for coming back to this community, for putting your expertise among us again. And again, we look forward to the vision and everything happening at the ACA in the coming years. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judith, and thank you for KRVS's support.